Harper Audio presents Agincourt, written by Bernard Cornwell, performed by Charles Keating. Copyright 2009 by Bernard Cornwell. Production copyright 2009 by HarperCollins Publishers.
Prologue. On a winter's day in 1413, just before Christmas, Nicholas Hook decided to commit murder. It was a cold day. There had been a hard frost overnight, and the midday sun had failed to melt the white from the grass. There was no wind, so the whole world was pale, frozen and still, when Hook saw Tom Peril in the sunken lane that led from the high woods to the mill pastures. Nick Hook, 19 years old, moved like a ghost. He was a forester, and even on a day when the slightest footfall could sound like cracking ice, he moved silently. Now he went upwind of the sunken lane where Peril had one of Lord Slayton's draft horses, harnessed to the felled trunk of an elm. Peril was dragging the tree to the mill so he could make new blades for the water wheel. He was alone, and that was unusual, because Tom Peril rarely went far from home without his brother or some other companion, and Hook had never seen Tom Peril this far from the village without his bow slung on his shoulder. Nick Hook stopped at the edge of the trees in a place where holly bushes hid him. He was 100 paces from Peril, who was cursing because the ruts in the lane had frozen hard, and the great elm trunk kept catching on the jagged track, and the horse was balking. Peril had beaten the animal bloody, but the whipping had not helped, and Peril was just standing now, switch in hand, swearing at the unhappy beast. Hook took an arrow from the bag hanging at his side, and checked that it was the one he wanted. It was a broadhead, deep-tanged, with a blade designed to cut through a deer's body, an arrow made to slash open arteries so that the animal would bleed to death if Hook missed the heart, though he rarely did miss. At 18 years old, he had won the Three Counties match, beating older archers famed across half England, and at 100 paces, he never missed. He laid the arrow across the bowstave. He was watching Peril because he did not need to look at the arrow or the bow. His left thumb trapped the arrow, and his right hand slightly stretched the cord so that it engaged in the small horn-reinforced nock at the arrow's feathered end. He raised the stave, his eyes still on the miller's eldest son. He hauled back the cord with no apparent effort, though most men who were not archers could not have pulled the bowstring halfway. He drew the cord all the way to his right ear. Peril had turned to stare across the mill pastures, where the river was a winding streak of silver under the winter bare willows. He was wearing boots, breeches, a jerkin and a deerskin coat, and he had no idea that his death was a few heartbeats away. Hook released. It was a smooth release, the hemp cord leaving his thumb and two fingers without so much as a tremor. The arrow flew true. Hook tracked the grey feathers, watching as the steel-tipped, tapered ash shaft sped toward Peril's heart. He had sharpened the wedge-shaped blade and knew it would slice through deerskin as if it were cobweb. Nick Hook hated the Peril family, just as the Perils hated the Hooks. The feud went back two generations to when Tom Peril's grandfather had killed Hook's grandfather in the village tavern by stabbing.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?